lesson tonight. My brothers and sisters, I always say, if we look around in the world, I was listening to what be going on in the world. And if we look around in the world, shouldn't be the bearer of bad news, but the news is that things not going to get better. My brothers and sisters, things are only going to get worse. My brothers and sisters, let me say this. Satan is the major reason. It's a major reason for people suffering. But we can't forget the suffering for Christ's sake and the suffering that come from our own poor decisions and choices we make in life. I'm touching on this before we get going with our text tonight. Should Christians, should be believers be anti-government? We're going to talk about that in a little bit here. But let me go ahead and say this, my brothers and sisters, that Satan is a major reason for people suffering, but we can't forget the suffering for Christ's sake and the suffering that come from our own poor decisions and choices we make in life. Now, the Bible tells us of that serpent, old devil, who is the devil, and Satan, Revelation 20:20. And I want you to go back always and take your Bible and you hear these scriptures. Go back and read them. And you can go back and listen to this study because I usually send it out on YouTube also. So you can get the study also, my brothers and sisters. The devil who rules over mankind as the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the children of disobedience. All you have to do is look around in the world and you see what's going on, that God's word is true. Ephesians 2:2. Now, as the God of this age, now, my brothers and sisters, now, Satan is the instigator of much of humanity's misery, but a lot of our miseries come from, like I said, our own poor choices and decisions in life that we make. And usually we make poor decisions when we're not walking in the spirit, my brothers and sisters. The fact that Satan is the God of this world can be observed every day all over the planet. War, crime, disease, suffering, immorality, corruption, injustice, abuse, perversion, slander, lies. If we just go to the Bible, we can see where and why injustice, hatred, racism, and all other forms of evil exist. My brothers and sisters, racism, hatred, and just inequality comes from the fallen nature. It is a hard condition, my brothers and sisters. I want you to know that. It is a hard condition. Jeremiah 17:19 said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Look what Jesus said when his earthly ministry to the nation of Israel, Matthew 15:19. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies." And in Genesis 6:5, the text pulled no punches in Genesis 6:5, describing the depths to which the human heart can sink apart from God. And like I said, you haven't seen anything that you think the human heart has sunk to the depths of anything yet. You haven't seen nothing yet. Keep on living, my brothers and sisters. Genesis 6:5, look at what God, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, Peter warns that the adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. My brothers and sisters, now, the Apostle Paul asked Timothy to instruct and admonish those who are in oppositions so they could come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. 2 Timothy 2:25-26, I want you to go and read that. Now, Jesus sent Paul to the Gentiles to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, Acts 26:18. We can see from these passages that Satan exerts a tremendous and pervasive power over mankind. How great is his influence? The Bible tells us that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, 1 John 5:19. Satan has one goal, my brothers and sisters. I hope you get this tonight. With the division, the hatred, racism, and turmoil in the society, 2 Corinthians, if we just go to Scripture, we can get all the answers we need. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, keeping the lost blinded to the glorious gospel of Christ. When you see all that's going on in the world, that is Satan's goal. Satan will attack the message, and when that don't work, he's going after the messenger. What is the basic false doctrine that Satan propagates? Number one, he's always denies the authority of Scripture. You see, if he can destroy the authority of this book, there isn't any authority anywhere, and then nothing matters. Nothing. He began in the very beginning in Genesis when he said to Eve, has God what said? Did God say that? How do you know God said it? The devil is in the business of preventing. And the first area he snatches away is the word. It is the idea that because there's an unbelieving heart, Satan can move in and make you blind. Satan is in the business of preventing. And to such people with hard hearts, the gospel is irrelevant. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Foolishness. Satan moves and snatches it away, my brothers and sisters. So we have to remember, we got armor. You read Ephesians 6:10 through 12. It'll tell you about that armor, my brothers and sisters. Satan policy of evil promote belief systems such as Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, communism, secular humanism, to name just a few. The evil spirit powers also use men and women in educational fields. Men such as Charles Darwin with the theory of evolution. They also work in the cultures of nations such as the gaming industry that are driving young people ever deeper into darkness. Young folks know more about games than they know about the Word of God. They sit on the games all day long and play them, kind of like saints too. They know more about these worldly shows and everything than they do the Word of God. They can sit up under their television and watch worldly shows all day and never give time and attendance to God's Word. Young folks, like I say, know more about the games. Then there's the movie industry in Hollywood promoting all ungodliness. There is also the music industry. Rappers and musicians of the world are getting young folks at very young ages. That's Satan behind all of this. Satan's goal is to keep them blinded. You don't have to search extensively on Google or YouTube to find examples of musicians and all these other folks who have sold their souls to the devil for success and notoriety, gaining the world and losing their souls. Then you got the religious spirits that bind people to try to earn salvation in the Christian religion instead of receiving a gift of life from Christ by grace through faith. My brothers and sisters, Satan's job is in the business of perverting by putting his own demon influence and demon-possessed people in pulpits, propaganda and false doctrine. In 1 Timothy, for example, you're familiar with the passage in chapter 4 which said, the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They go right ahead speaking hypocritical lies, and it doesn't even seem to bother them. Satan, the god of this world, my brothers and sisters, not only hinders our service, but, and here's a biggie, he infiltrates the church. He infiltrates the church. He's really good at this. You can say, how does he do it? First of all, through phony Christians who claim themselves to be Christians. He gets the church to take in people, or if whatever way they can come and be part of the assembly, who appear to be Christian or just become part of the church, and we really can't tear them apart. And they are really the devil's people. And then he gets them on the inside, and they really create havoc. And they do it in a lot of ways. They do it by having a lifestyle that doesn't match up to what their claim is, and so it confuses the world as to what a Christian is. They become difficult to deal with. We don't know how to handle them, many things. They usually try to worm their way into leadership, so you got Satan getting the voice in everything in the body of Christ, in local assemblies. He loves to get false information in the church. Somebody propagating false doctrine that sounds good. Somebody who appear to be approved by the leadership of the church, teaching something that sounds okay, but it's not true. The church is always loaded with false teachers, always has been. My brothers and sisters, know who you are in Christ. Are you convinced of the authority of Christ? Don't try and wage warfare in your strength. Rely on his power and take direction from the Holy Spirit. We, the church, have been given spiritual weapons. Ephesians 6, 13 through 17. These weapons are not guns and bombs, swords and pistols. They are not weapons of the world. We cannot fight a spiritual war against unseen spiritual beings with weapons of the world. Our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds of the enemy. Paul the Apostle sees the Christian as advancing on the enemy, where he is firmly entrenched. The church, the body of Christ, is on attack, my brothers and sisters. So don't forget, it's a spiritual war going on. And I think a lot of folks have forgot about that. They done got so entangled after what they see going on in society, and they losing out on the big picture. Now, the question I sent out, we talked about, I won't get through all of this tonight. The subject, be subject unto the higher powers and pray for those in authority. But should saints in the body of Christ be anti-government? Now, Romans 13, 1 through 7. I'll read a few verses. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. Now you go back and read Romans 13. Read the book. But I'm basing mine coming out of Romans 13, 1 through 7, my brothers and sisters. Now, when a society loses touch with the realities of the wretchedness of man and pulls back from punishment, it contributes to his own death. So many ask the question now, why should I submit to a government that I believe is moving in the wrong direction? How in the world can the Apostle Paul tell Christians to submit to the authorities in Romans 13, 1 through 7? When we know for a fact that many human governments are corrupt and unjust, what should a believer do when he feels that his own government is ungodly? The Bible does, in fact, command Christians to submit to the government authorities, Romans 13, 1, and to pray for kings and all who are in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Now, 1 Timothy 2, 2. My brothers and sisters, that's what that verse was. These words, even more striking when we realize that Paul penned them during the reign of the Roman Emperor Nero. The point is clear. As long as we can do so without denying Christ, of compromising our faith, we must always strive to cooperate with the ruling powers. That doesn't necessarily mean that we will endorse all of their policies or approve of every specific action they take. This is especially true in a democratic society, where it's the duty of responsible citizens to examine public servants with a discernment and critical eye. Kind of like when you call on a pastor, there's qualifications. You should be discerning. You should look at the qualifications laid out in front of you, my brothers and sisters. Now, if you ever wanted to ask yourself how depraved man, just look at behavior that is unrestrained. How long would it take if we had no police and no government for deadly chaos to disrupt the life of cities and societies? That's why when you look at worldly folks and folks out there talking about get rid of, abolish the police departments. We want. I heard somebody on the news say we want to police ourselves. Can you imagine what it'd be like if we didn't have police to call on, my brothers and sisters? How long would it take if we had no police? Like I said, for deadly chaos to disrupt the life of cities and society. That's the human heart. Resistance to government is rebellion against God. Resistance to government is rebellion against God. That's verse 2. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, the institution, the establishment of God, what has been laid down by God. Whoever resists the government is rebelling against God. We need government and laws. There is a right for the government to punish. When human authority punish violators of the law, God approves of that punishment, for God himself would additionally deal with a violator. The instrument then of punishment are human authority, but the source of punishment is divine. You break the laws, you have consequences to pay in life, part of the government, part of the legal system. What if we didn't have it? When we seek and see government and control breaking down in the world, we can see the evil going unpunished and criminals getting away with things. And if we add that to marriage collapsing and the church going apostate, all God's institutions being violated, it spells the end of a society. That's why we have to have some kind of government order. And we are watching it in the world today. What happens? Paul warned us of these times. The world ever since the fall, when the dominion of one part of the human race over another was immediately introduced, has been in such a state of corruption and depravity that without the power or obstacle presented by the civil government to the selfish and malignant passions of men, it would be better to live among the beasts of the forest than in human society. As soon as this restraints are removed, man shows himself in his real character. We need government. Let me say this, and that is, politicizing won't change what others feel about certain races with what's going on in society today, my brothers and sisters. We just talked about it. You see the hatred. You see the injustice, my brothers and sisters. We may get laws to benefit others, but as far as the injustice, hatred, and racism we see in the world, we must remember that only the gospel can change people and change people can make a difference in a society. And I'm talking about change through the gospel, the grace of God, my brothers and sisters. So guess what? All these folks that you hear talking about, we gonna change the world with what they doing, marching and all this thing, they don't understand. You're not gonna change hatred that way. You're not going to change injustice that way. The human heart, I already spoke about it. There's only one fix, my brothers and sisters. So we pray, and that's the gospel. Let me tell you what the fix is, the gospel of the grace of God. That's the only thing that's going to take us out of Adam and put us in Christ. Huh? Out of that corruptness, my brothers and sisters. Because in that old nature, there's the hatred, there's the racism, there's the injustice, my brothers and sisters. So marching won't change that. Now, we have to play a part. We play a part in government when it comes to laws that's going to benefit us and benefit others, because we still have to live here. But I'm talking about the spiritual part. The hatred, racism, huh? Injustice. My wife and I, we experienced hatred, racism. One day we were playing Genesis, and another race came by and called us the N-word and told us to go back home. We was on a plane. They already had said the plane is going to be full. So my wife and I always sit on the outside. She sit next to me. So the window seat was open. As the plane kept getting full, you could hear the flight attendant saying, take whatever seat you can get. Because full plane. Folks walked down. The other race would walk down. And they looked at my wife and I. And they turned back around and headed up front. They did that about two or three times. Until the point where it wasn't no more seats. And someone, they stopped right there, a lady did, and she said, may I see what you are over here? And I stood up and said, sure you can. And my wife was just as happy to, you know, say, sure you can. But racism, hatred, and the perception that people have of other races, and some of these things, when you talk about children, the environments they're brought up in, guess what? They brought up in environments that's still in old Adam, and they're taught these things. My brothers and sisters, only thing going to change, you have to change, get out of old Adam, and get in Christ. Now, government's from God. To rebel is to resist God. Government serves to restrain evil. Government serves to restrain evil, like I said, in verse 3 of Romans, what we're talking about. And government is not a cause for those who behave well to fear, but only to the evil. We have nothing to fear from our rulers if we keep the law. Now, brothers and sisters, many times, and yeah, you have those that you run into with the hatred, with the racism, and those you run into that in society. But most of all, we have nothing to fear from our rulers if we keep the law. Many times when you see a lot of police chases, when someone is breaking the law, many are driving illegal, under influence, no insurance, revoked license, stolen vehicle, and doing things inside the vehicle against the laws of the land. What do you think? Why do you think that they take off on a police chase? Because they driving around, I always say they driving around dirty. If you ain't driving around dirty, when the police pull you over, they always tell you to comply. Can I have your registration? Proof of insurance? Sure you can. But if you don't have registration, you don't have proof of insurance, you driving on a revoked license, or you're doing things in vehicles, what do you think you're going to do? Most folks, when they know they're going to jail, they take off. My brothers and sisters, it's the law, that universal, that everybody knows what is good and what is evil. Yes, but not everybody believes the Bible. Not everybody hides the Bible, yes. But according to Romans 2:14-15, they have the law of God written where? In their hearts, in their conscience, that either accuses or accuses them. It is human to have the basic sense of morality. It is human, and it shows up in the universal laws all across the planet. You don't think a sinner know that he run a red light? My brothers and sisters, what's going to happen? Yes, he does. My brothers and sisters, even non-believers, of course, understand basic morality by natural revelation. Guess what? If a person obeys the law in this country, does what he is supposed to do, he has absolutely no reason to fear. People who ride and terrorize society have every reason to be afraid, because they know when they go and burn down a Wendy's or burn down a business, they know they're breaking the law. Why you think they run when the police show up? My brothers and sisters, if you disobey the law, if you take the law into your own hands, you ought to be afraid. because what makes the power to restrain evil work is swift punishment. An unbeliever know that breaking into a business stealing is against the law. So what does a Christian do in a society like ours? What do? We obey, we submit, and we have nothing to fear from the authorities. By the way, the man who wrote this passage of scripture had been treated badly by the authorities. Talking about our apostle. He had been unjustly jailed. He had been unjustly beaten. He had been unjustly whipped. He had been treated very badly. But the principle still stands. And when the persecution comes, we don't retaliate with arms. We don't retaliate with criminal conduct. Nevertheless, Christians, they are responsible to uphold biblical righteousness in a hostile culture while also expressing respect for his leadership. We may not trust the governing authority, but we have to trust him, God. Under normal circumstances, we can demonstrate that trust by cooperating with the state, paying our taxes, participating in the system, and staying out of trouble so we can live that peaceful life. But this doesn't mean that we should be blind. In Romans 13:1-7, Paul deals directly with the Christian's attitude and conduct with respect to government authority. In particular, Paul addressed the Christian relationship to civil government. Our circumstances are nothing like those of the Christian who lived in the days when the New Testament was being written, such as believers in Rome who received Paul's letter. The issue of the Christian relationship to government has been vitally important throughout the history of the church. Christians always have been faced with a struggle in this matter because the church has found itself under all kinds of governments and rulers with different perspectives of leadership. Christians are aliens and strangers just passing through this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20. Paul says government is by divine decree. Go back to verse 1. There is no authority except from God. There is no authority except from God as we close, but we're not done. And those which exist, those authorities, plural, wherever they are and whatever they are established by God. Civil authority, government authority comes from directly from God. There are two other institutions that God has placed into society for the well-being of society. One is marriage, the other is the church. What about the cruel ones in the government? Corrupt ones. What about the unjust ones? Well, first of all, cruel abuses in the government are no reflection of God, God's nature, any more than cruel abuses in a marriage or defection of people in the church taints God's purity. None of that does. Divorce rips marriage to shreds, and apostasy tears the church apart, and abuses in government destroy the good that government can do. But abuses do not, in any sense, diminish the truth that these institutions ordained by God. Abuses in government only promote what's true in God's word, and that is man needs to be saved. In the beginning, God ordained government to protect and preserve man, for the protection of life and property, for the repression of evil and crime, and for the rewarding of virtue and good. That's the God-ordained design. The powers that are ordained of God, they are not ordained by the opinions of the government, the will of the majority, or the will of one man. They are ordained by God. And that's a good place to stop tonight. My brothers and sisters, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word tonight. We pray as those who listen in, we pray that they were encouraged, that they were edified. My Lord, we pray that they will take a look at what's going on in the world and realize that there's a spiritual battle going on, and you have given us the weapons. And if we know how to use our weapons, we will not be ignorant of Satan and his devices. Lord, let us understand about what we see going on in government and what you require of us as saints in the body of Christ. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters.